Hey everybody, this is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
Amen. How many is already happy they came to the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Well, let's do this. Just look at your neighbor and say, I'm so glad that you came to the house of the Lord. I'm so glad you didn't stay in bedside assembly or you didn't do underwear church, even though we have some watching underwear church right now. You came to be in the presence of God. Amen? Amen. Well, you may be seated. Real quick, we want to address something. Since the donkey's already in the room. No, just kidding. Amen. We want to go ahead and prepare you guys for what's happening. A couple of months ago, I want to tell you what you guys did. We told you about some doors that we wanted to get for our children's ministry. And because of your faithfulness to give, we got them. It cost about $5,000. And just this week, we put those in. Thank you, Ron, wherever you are. And Don, thank you, guys. Appreciate you. And so what this is going to be, it is strictly, it's for your kids' safety. How many of y'all feel better if, while you're in church, your kids are safe where they are? Now, the reason I'm going to prepare you right now is because lots of you that are in here, I'll tell you, I said this the other night on a Wednesday night. The people that are familiar with this place, they have no clue of what's going on. But all the visitors, I can ask them of things that are happening. They know. Because they read the announcements, they look at the announcements, and they actually watch the announcement video. It's something about that. But everybody who's familiar in here, and so what I'm about to tell you, those that have been familiar with this house and familiar in this church, this may be hard on you, but all the visitors say, okay, if that's what you do, that's what we do. And so what we're going to do is this, is there's going to be an entrance right here to go in for your kids to go in children's church in the morning. You'll still check in. They'll go in these doors right here, and there will be an exit door right here. I'm excited about this on lots of levels, but one of it is it'll keep you guys in church till church is over. Come on, somebody. Praise the Lord for that. When we're having altar call and people are getting saved, you ain't just leaving and interrupting everything. You're going to have to stay in here. And so reason we're locking those doors is for your kids' safety, because here's why. We live in a time and day where divorce, where if parents are separated, this will prevent a dad who wants to come get their kid out of children's church. It'll prevent. You want to talk about more about that, because you're the leader here.
It will protect your kids. We want to keep your kids safe. We don't want anybody in the classroom that's not supposed to be in the classroom. We don't want people sticking their head in the classroom that aren't supposed to be in the classroom. So it's going to protect your kids that way. Also, if anything traumatic was to happen here, they're locked. They're safe. Nobody can get to them.
See, she said it so much better. Not to say we want to keep them from the kids, but you know how court systems goes and things like that. And it's for your kids' safety. Are you guys excited for your kids' safety? We're excited. I can feel better knowing that your kids are safe. And so starting next week, that's what we'll do it. We'll have some bumps along the way, but we all need to get in unity.
No bumps.
Please. No bumps along the way. It's a woman of faith right here. We're just going to go right through it. Yes. Thank you. Come on, give Pastor Brandy a hand this morning. She lovely and she beautiful. All right, open your Bibles. Go ahead and keep playing the organ. I tell you what, I'm so fired up this morning. If I hear that piano, I may get to shouting this morning. Who's ready for the word? Not that I need any help shouting, because the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 4. It says this, then a champion came out from the camp of the Philistine named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he wore a coat of scale armor overlapping metal plates, which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. He had bronze shin protectors on his legs and bronze javelin hung between his shoulders. The wooden shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. The blade head of his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron, and a shield bearer walked in front of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the battle lines of Israel, saying to them, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not the Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us." Again, the Philistine said, "I defy the battle lines of Israel. This day, give me a man so that we may fight together." Verse 11, pay attention. It says, when Saul and all Israel heard. I'm going to say it again. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now, go over to verse 31. It says this, when the words that David spoke were heard, the men reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no man's courage fail because of him, Goliath. Your servant will go out and fight with this Philistine." Then Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight him, for you are only a young man, and he has been a warrior since his youth." The NIV, the original NIV, says, "Don't be ridiculous." Come on, who's in here that has ridiculous kind of faith like David? Verse 34, but David said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock. I went out after it and attacked it and rescued the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose up against me, I seized it by its whiskers and struck and killed it." Says, "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted and defied the armies of the living God." Look at your neighbor and say, "Get ready." All right. Well, this morning I want to talk to you from the text of this being battle born. You've got to remember your miracle. If you're going to be somebody who's a warrior, if you're going to be somebody who stands up in the face of adversity, you've got to remember this, not remember of what you're going through, but you need to remember, if God be for you, then who in the world can be against you? You need to remember the times that he's been there for you. And you say, "What, Pastor, you say I don't have a testimony." I'm telling you, if you're sitting in this row today in 2021, you have something to shout about. There's people that's lost their lives. There's people that's been sick and died. But you're here in 2021, and God has a story of redemption, and God has a plan for your life. The Bible says we go from faith, to glory, to glory. We're like the old Johnny Cash song, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56. We have gained glory to glory, faith to faith. And I'm telling you, the things that God has taught me in 2008, I'm using in 2021. And I believe I'm not going to stop where I am, but I'm going to keep going. And last week we saw this, the place of where this happened was inside of the valley. It was interesting, as I was reading this text, it was right there in the valley where the Goliath came out for 40 days, morning and night, and he taunted the people of Israel. And thinking about that, the Philistines were obviously on the left, and the Israelites were on the right. Some of you got that, some of you didn't. But right there in the middle, in this particular place is why they picked this, was because whoever got this took control of the land. Whoever took control of this road, it was the road that was the three-way that went to Hebron, it went to Jerusalem, and it went to Bethlehem. And those were the three trading posts, and at those places would regain control of the country. And so they took this place. And the reason that they took this place was because Saul was off of his guard. He took his guard off. How many of y'all saw this week and you were intentional this week? I'm not going to let any enemy get me down. Because when the enemy sees you down, he comes in like a flood. That's why he says in 1 Peter 5:8, he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, for my adversary, the devil, roams about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And I'm telling you, no matter what goes wrong, no matter what kind of hiccup happens in my day, I'm never going to stop being sober. I'm never going to stop being vigilant because I know that God in me, the Christ of glory. Amen? There's God in me. And so I'm going to tell you again, as I told you last week, God is calling you into the valley. We see in 1 Samuel 16, when Samuel the prophet goes to Jesse's house to anoint the next king, he anoints David right there. So he anoints him to be the next king of Israel. Saul doesn't know that, the king at the time, but David knows it. And there's going to be a time when he is going to have authority over the land, but it's not there yet. And I want to tell you this morning. There's an anointing on your life. And before you can be at the place of authority and kingship, you've got to go in the valley and face some giants. I'm going to say that again. God has anointed you, Dad. God has anointed you, Mom. But I'm going to tell you, and there's authority that God has given you. And before he could use the authority of kingship and being the king of Israel, and he was a great king, there he's trying to paint a picture to him in chapter 17. There are some giants that you're going to have to face. It was in the middle of the cross. Amen? It was in the middle of the cross. It's in the middle of your adversary. It's in the middle of what you're going through now that God is going to take you to the promised land. And as I look across scripture, I see this, the place of conflict. It's either where the battle is won or it's lost. But I know this, for every promised land, there are going to be giants. Every giant is different for somebody, but let me paint a picture of what a giant is. A giant is the thing that has distracted you, discouraged you, and detoured you from your promise. It could be in the picture of somebody. It could be in the picture of politics. It could be a sickness inside of your body. But how many of y'all know, if you live life any amount of time, there is giants that get in the way of our life. But I want to remind you in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, this is passing translation. It says, don't allow your hearts to grow dull or lose your enthusiasm, but follow the example of those who fully received what God has promised because of their strong faith and patient endurance. He said, remember. I'm talking about remember the miracle. We need to remember people like Joshua, how God was there for him inside the pit, God was there for him inside the palace, and God was there for him inside the prison, and he will be there for you as well, of whatever giant that you're going through. I also want to remind you of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. It says, hold fast the confession of your faith without wavering, for he who promised is what? Is faithful. I'm telling you, God is faithful. You know what I'm going to tell America? God is faithful. You know what I'm going to tell you inside of your family thing that may have the pot stirred up? I want to tell you this. Rely on the Lord, and he is faithful to pull you out of whatever you're in right now. He is faithful. Buddha's not faithful. Muhammad's not faithful. Come on. Confucius is not faithful. Amen? He might have said, man who stand on toilet is very high on pot. But I'm here to tell you, Christ said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? Just making sure you're paying attention this morning. It says in verse 4, it says, then a champion came out from the camp of the Philistine named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. I have wrote here, I've read several different commentaries, but he was anywhere from 8 foot 9 inches tall to 9 foot 9 inches. How many of y'all know that's a big giant? That's a huge person. That's gargantuan. The guy who does our insurance here at the church, he's like 6 foot 8. He's huge. When he walks through doors, I mean, he's probably not going to hit it, but I'm telling you, he is a large man. Can you imagine 3 more feet? That's unbelievable. This is before basketball right here. But some things you need to understand. It says, then a champion came out from the camp of the Philistines. I want to paint a picture to you here this morning. I'm going to teach a little bit, and then I'm going to preach a lot of it. The word champion means this, one known of unknown parents, mysterious origin. It also means a negotiator. An actual, not, don't throw tomatoes at me, but an actual commentary that I read is this word champion here actually means that he was a bastard. That made me want to preach. Don't let any tell you you can't do something. He don't even know where he came from, but I know where I came from. I'm going to teach. I so wanted to run with that, but I've got a lot to cover. It says a champion came out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath. Oh, it has a name, does it? This word Goliath means this, to uncover or to reveal. This word Goliath means when you looked at him, it was like a revelation, like the curtain had been pulled away because he was so huge and he was so enormous. How many of y'all have ever been backed in a corner through a financial thing that it was so big you didn't see your way out of it? How many of y'all have ever been in a marriage situation before where it was so big that you couldn't see your way out of it? How many of y'all have ever been in a situation with your children that it was so big you couldn't see your way out of it? Come on, how many of you have ever been in a position with your nation before where it was so big that you couldn't see your way out of it? I'm here to tell you, and I'm going to say it again, that every Goliath has a name and every Goliath will fall under faith. We came to have some church this morning. So Goliath, to uncover or reveal, this word Gath, it's not only a place, but it also goes back to a word called Anakim. Not Anakin, who is Darth Vader, although it would fit. It's known for having lots of giants in the land. In fact, further on next week, I'm going to show you in 2 Samuel, at this place called Gath, he found 4 more giants. We don't know that these 5 giants, including Goliath here, that they were brothers. Study doesn't tell us that. But this was a place where giants came from. And in this, and so it tells me this, and this fires me up because I know this. When Saul releases David to fight Goliath, how many stones does he get? He gets 5 stones. How many of y'all know there is, when you have confidence and faith in your God, you didn't take 5 stones to kill one giant. You got 5 stones to kill all 5 giants. Trying not to preach. Y'all aren't helping me. Okay. This helmet here, now this is proven fact of history. His helmet weighed 15 pounds. That is a large noodle. And there was no brains up there. I know some people just like this. His coat weighed 125 pounds. You can read about these all through verse 7. His shin guards weighed 60 pounds. His spear was 26 feet long. Lord have mercy. She's telling you. No, I'm telling it. And it weighed 17 pounds. The spearhead of that was 37 pounds. His shield was so big, we read here that somebody else carried it. His sword was so big and so special that later on in David's life, he found it from the priest, and he took it back. What is your point, Pastor? My point is this. Well, all of it together, studies has told us, with everything that he was wearing, with the clothes and everything in the boots, and or not the boots, but the sandals, and all the leather that he had on him, weighed up to 500 pounds. Also, too, I read a commentary, it said 700. That's a whole bunch. It would be very easy for me to be evangelistic this morning, to stretch some things, but let's just say it was 500 pounds. What is your point? My point is this. In verse 11, it says, when Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistines, that's when they were dismayed and greatly afraid. It's not what they saw, but it's what they heard. Come on, I'm trying to bring something out this morning for battle-born warriors. You don't need to be worried about what you're seeing. You need to be worried about what you're hearing. I'm going to say it again. You don't need to listen to yourself. You need to start speaking to yourself. You know what a warrior does? He's careful of who he listens to. Can I tell you this? As your pastor, turn off the news. Can I say it again? Turn off the news. Constant negative news. I'm telling you, constant negative news, it puts people in depression. It makes them shrink back. We need to be careful of what we're listening to, because how many of y'all know there's a devil out there? The Bible says this, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. The Bible also says in Revelation chapter 12 that the enemy, the devil, Diablo, the one who penetrates or throws and throws and throws till he penetrates, what he is in Scripture in Revelation 12 is he is the accuser of the brethren. It started all the way back in Genesis where Eve is at the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And the accuser came in and said, did God really say? Come on, how many of y'all know there's an enemy out there that said, did God really heal you? Did God really deliver you? Did God really set you free? And I'm here to tell you, if you listen to him, you'll be in a basement with you know who. And I'm here to tell you, rise up and stop listening to what the enemy has to tell you. Speak to yourself. He keeps his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways, that no evil befalls me and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I see this. I see 60, 70,000 jobs have already been lost this week, not to tell you how many is going to lose next week. When I hear all of those things, it puts me in a frenzy. It makes me panic. There's lots of people that I shoo for that are in the oil industry, but then I remember the miracle. Come on, I remember the miracle of where he said in Philippians 2:19, where he said, I will supply all of your needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So I'm not putting my trust in what I hear from some politician. I am putting my trust of what I hear the Most High. Come on, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Come on, I'm preaching this morning. I hope you're listening. You've been listening to some other things, and people listen to things all the time, but you need to listen to what God has to say for you this morning. Going back to my first message of Battleborn, talking about Elijah, you see all the things that he did. He raised a boy from the dead because of the power of God in him. He was fed by a raven. He killed all the prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth. He outran Ahab's chariot. But then in verse 19, he got word and he heard what Jezebel had to say, and he ran for his life. Doesn't matter what he had seen, it's what he heard. And I'm trying to put something on the inside of you this morning. Stop listening to yourself and start speaking to yourself. Stop listening to the voice of the enemy. If you're going to be battle born, if you're going to make it in 2021, you cannot listen to what other people are saying, what other things are doing. And I'm going to tell you, even right now, you need to be careful of what preacher you're listening to. There's a message out there that is raising up a big army of weenies. That you have to be really careful of what you say. No, we're in the position of where we are because we haven't spoke the truth in love. I'm going to say that again. We're in the position where we are because we haven't spoke the truth in love. Love is patient. Love is kind. I love homosexuals, but homosexuality is a sin, and they will burn in hell unless they repent. Pastor, that's hard. Hey, spend some time with me. I promise you, I will love that homosexual son of yours or that girl of yours. I will love them. But it won't deter me from telling them the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be careful what you're listening to. Get into my message here. Now we're going to go to 31 through 36. So they listened. They kept listening day and night to this giant. It got inside of their head. In fact, we know this, that the oldest boy of Jesse, he was freaked out. David shows up on the scene. He's like, why are you guys scared? Why? What do you get? Well, you get money. Well, who doesn't want money? What else do they get? They get the king's daughter. Remember, he's a boy. Who don't want the king's daughter? I want the king's daughter. Me, I wanted the pastor's daughter. Come on, somebody. He said, "You also, whoever kills this giant, also you won't have your father won't have taxes." Well, that'll put me at the. I have 8 brothers. That'll put me at the top. When I take taxes away, come on, he's thinking, "What is wrong with you people?" And so we see here in verse 31 when he goes to Saul, and he says, "If God delivered me from the lion and the bear, surely he will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine." Here's a point I want to make to you this morning. If you're going to be battle born, it's this. He had a mentality of miracle and not a victim. This is for somebody this morning, and I know it by the Spirit of God. As I was sharing this with Pastor Brandy last night, this is for somebody this morning. Number one, write it down. He had a mentality of a miracle and not of a victim. He had been training his low life for this moment. See, when everybody else looked at the giant, they were in despair, and they freaked out, and they hid. They hid. But he looked at the giant, and he looked at the giant, and he did this. If God was there for me with the lion and the bear, he will be with me against this giant right now. He had to go back into his history and remind himself, if God was with me in the lion and God was with me in the bear, surely he will be with me against this uncircumcised Philistine. Come on, you got to come to a place. It says it in Hebrews chapter 10 in 23. It says, "Hold fast the confession of faith without wavering." But in verse 32, it says, "Remember the former days." Remember the times that God was there for you, how he's never left you, and he's never forsaken you. What has God done for you? That's my question to you this morning. What has God done for you? Yes, you may have went through a bad place, but we still serve the same God. I want to remind somebody this morning, even though we are where we are in 2021, of January 2021, at a new place in America, I'm still here to tell you that the same God that was there for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he's still on the throne today. The same God that Adams and Jefferson and Washington and Rush met inside that room in Philadelphia, and they put their hand on their Bible and they wrote the Declaration of Independence. The same God that was in that Bible in 1776 is still the same God that is on the throne today. Come on, somebody needs to get that in their spirit this morning. If God was there for me, I'm gonna, with the lion and the bear, surely he will be with me through this uncircumcised Philistine. Because I want to tell you this, victory leads to victory. Victory leads to victory. If you watch any kind of sports at all, if a team has momentum, victory leads to victory. No matter what you go up against, you say, you know what, it may be big to everybody else, but it's not big enough for my God. You can't have a miracle memory and a victim mentality. If anybody... Come on, this is for somebody this morning. I want you to lean in. If anybody had the choice to have a victim mentality, it was David, the son of Jesse. Read first Samuel chapter 16. God tells the prophet Samuel, "How long are you going to mourn for Saul? You need to go to Jesse's house, and you need to anoint the next king." And he goes. The Bible says Abinadab comes forward. The Bible says other brothers come forward, and they go through all these brothers and says, "Is this all you have?" His dad didn't even care enough about him to have him there to be anointed as king, even though he was one of his boys. Come on, I'm speaking to somebody this morning that has that victim mentality. You may be a step kid, but you are a child of the Most High God. There may be some things in your life that you've blamed on a step parent, a stepmom, or a stepdad. You've been in a fence your whole life. And I'm telling you, if you stay at that place, you won't be battle-born and you won't have victories. You need to see yourself as a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become brand new. I'm telling you, this boy, His dad didn't even see greatness in him. He had him out in the fields watching the sheep. And there's everything in him that could have said, you know what, I'm a victim. I'm not even worth enough for him to even think about me. All my other brothers, yes, he was the last one to be picked. He was, and we also see this. In fact, you read in Scripture, when he comes up, Samuel makes it a point to say, man, your skin's ruddy. You're handsome. You're different from these other ugly mugs. In fact, it painted a picture for me that he wasn't of the same mama of all these other boys. This one was different. In fact, it reminds me of some psalms that I read where he says, I was conceived in sin. He was the talk of the town. He didn't look like his brothers. In fact, we see him obviously in 1 Samuel 17 that his brothers didn't even like him. But did that stop him from fulfilling his purpose? He had a mentality of a miracle and not of a victim. David could have said, this is just another fight. This is just another thing that I'm having to go up against. It's just another thing in my family. It's just another thing in my culture. He could have said that, but he didn't say that. He said, this giant's, God has anointed me to be the king. And if I'm going to go to the place of kingship, obviously I'm going to have to face this giant. And I'm not going to be shrunk back to the place of what culture and society and even my family has said about me. I'm going to say what God says about me. Come on, who is this for this morning? This is for somebody. In fact, he tells us in Psalm 103 in verse 1 and 2, you need to get this in your spirit. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. We can't forget what God has done for us. Come on, the enemy could have told him everything. I'll tell you one of the things that I do. In fact, last Sunday afternoon, I went to the couch at 3. I didn't get up from the couch till 4:30. I slipped off into the abyss. But before I fell asleep, the enemy tried to bombard me with this. Travis, you're too loud. Travis, you're too much. Travis, you're too fired up. Travis, you're too passionate. Travis, you're scaring people. Hey, listen, I know you say no. There's some of you. Other of you, you're like, no, you're right. The enemy is right. But you know what? As I begin to study this text out, I begin to think to myself, you know what? The enemy is loud. And you know why I'm loud and how I'm not going to shut up, I'm not going to give up, I'm not going to be quiet, I'm going to be louder than I've ever been before, I'm going to scream, I'm going to shout, because I'm telling you this morning that the enemy may be loud, but you as a people of God, you need to be louder. You need to be louder. Come on, you need to be louder. Be louder than what the enemy is telling you. Be louder than what the voice of the enemy has told you of who you are and who you should be. We need to be louder. We are in the place we are in America because we've been too quiet. It's time to shout. It's time to scream. It's time to get up on the mountaintop and say, you know what? God is still on the throne. Woo! I need a hanky this morning. So I say, enemy, you shut up. I'm going to sleep like a baby. Next week, I'm going to spit, I'm going to shout, I'm going to sweat, I'm going to scream. Come on, somebody, because if the enemy can be loud, I'm going to be louder. Forget not his benefits. You guys getting anything out of the word this morning? It's 11:11. I promise to get you out of here by 1 o'clock. Here's the second thing. He had a mentality of miracle, not a victim. Number two, he reminded himself of his covenant with God. You ready for this? You know, it's like that person that's telling jokes. First one's funny. The second one's funny. Then they tell that one where they went like so past the line, it's so uncomfortable. It's like, shut up while you're ahead, buddy. You know that person? Well, this is what he said. I killed the lion. Woo! I killed the bear. Woo! And I'm going to kill this uncircumcised Philistine. Whoa! He said it. I want to remind you this morning what he's reminding himself of. This giant that he's up against is not in covenant with God, but he is. Oh, I'm going to say it again. Lord Jesus, I hope you get this. He's reminding himself that the giant that he's up against is not in covenant with the creator of the universe. He is not in covenant with the one that parted the Red Sea. He is not in covenant. He is uncircumcised. He's uncircumcised. We read in Genesis of how Abraham went into a cut covenant. Pastor Robert gave me a book years ago called The Blood Covenant. In fact, we should do a Bible school on that. It's such a good book. I've read it many, many times. But in the Old Testament, he had a cut covenant with Abraham. Meaning this, he was in covenant, the blood from his circumcision and the blood from a spotless lamb came together and they were fused together in covenant. Thank God we don't have to have cut covenant services anymore. Covenant now is baptism, and I want to invite all of you, if you've not been baptized, this is a way to be in covenant with God. It's an outward example of how you have given your life to Christ. But he shed his blood on the cross. He was in covenant. He poured out the sin, or he took sin on his back. Blood was poured out from Jesus on the cross. Can I get an amen? Thank you, Jesus, for that. We're saved by grace, not of works. Should any man should boast, Ephesians says. Grace has a name, and his name is Jesus, and he poured it out. And because of us asking Jesus, there's a circumcision that happens inside of our heart, and it's an example of when we give, when we're water baptized, that we belong to the Lord. So next week, we're going to have a baptism service. Be like, no one came to church today. Good thing we've changed that up. Oh, Lord, can you imagine coming to church? I'm so glad you came to sharpen his knife. All right. That would be a cowboy church for sure. But I'm here to fire you up this morning and tell you, he said that giant, he's uncircumcised, meaning he doesn't have inside of him what I have on the inside of me. I have victory on the inside of me. I have salvation on the inside of me. I have love on the inside of me. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. I have things in me that you can't even stand a chance through. I have the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and if he was there for them, he will be there for me today. I came to preach to you this morning. I know you had a week like mine, and I'm here to turn it around for you. I'm here to tell you, you have an advantage. God speaking to David in Psalm 89 and verse 34, he said, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Oh, I'm going to say it again. He said, my covenant I will not break. I'm here to tell you this morning, the covenant that God made with you, he will not break it. He will perform it in your life. You just got to rely on him. Rely on him. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Come on. He reminded himself of the covenant that he had with God. If you're going to be battle-born, you need to remind yourself of the covenant. Of the covenant. Come on. Remind, when you leave here today, and she says what she says, when you get in the car after church, you know who I'm talking about. Remind yourself of your covenant with God. Here's the third one. You ready? Write this down. Band, go ahead and come forward. He knew what God started, he will finish. Oh, am I talking to some warriors this morning? Come on, am I talking to some people that God has battle-born you and readied you for the battle? He knew what God had started, He will finish. God had promised that he would be king. God promised him he would be king. He promised to him when he poured the horn of oil. Y'all have heard me preach that message before. When he anointed Saul, it was a flask of oil. But when he anointed David, it was a horn of oil. The horn. Yes, Lord. I'll tell him. Is the horn of oil. Meaning this, if it was a horn, it was in something that had died. Come on, we got to die to our old self. We got to die to the thinking of this world. We're not of this world. When God anointed him to be king, and then he sends him to play the harp for this guy that's dealing with psychiatric problems. And then he goes to the battle. But I want to read to you Psalm 23. What God had promised, he knew this. What God started, he will finish. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Come on and stand to your feet with me this morning. He knew what God started, he will finish. And I want to tell the people of God this morning, the work that he begun in you, he is faithful to complete it. Come on, who am I talking to this morning? The work he began in you, he is faithful to complete it. Come on, who am I talking to this morning? The work that he started in you, he is faithful to complete it. He went from an anointing. All of us want to go from straight from anointing to authority. Who doesn't? I'm going to say it again. All of us want to go from an anointing to an authority. And the Bible says, "He who says unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, it shall be done." But I'm telling you, you better be in covenant with the Lord. There better not be sin in your life. And if there has been sin, repent of it. Repent of it. But what pulled kingship and authority out of David was a giant. Let's say it again. What pulled kingship and authority out of David was a giant. What's that thing that has you distracted right now? I'm telling you, you need to face it. But I'm here to tell you, you're not facing it alone. If you're in covenant with God, the same God that was with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the same God living on the inside of you. Come on, who am I helping this morning? Who is this for this morning? Come on, who is this for this morning? You need to speak to that uncircumcised thing, giant, in your life. It may be an addiction, it may be a sin. I want to remind you of this. You don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers over darkness, and wickedness in high places. So today, if anything, you've learned anything from this, you need to take away from this. Stop listening to the giant. Stop listening to the enemy. Stop listening to yourself. And start speaking to yourself. Start speaking to yourself. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You get in unity with the Holy Spirit. You know us right in here, moms, dad, body of Christ, we need to be in unity with one another. Put one can put 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000. Nothing can break a 3-strand cord. And you know what we need to remember? If God was there for the church in 2008, he's going to be there for the church in 2021. I'm going to say it again. If God was there for us in 2012, he will be there for us in 2021. So I'm talking to some believers this morning. A one God apostolic tongue-talking, holy rolling, born-again, heaven-bound believer in the liberated power in Jesus' name kind of believers. I need you to rise up a David on the inside of you and say, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. I am in covenant with the Most High God. And there ain't no uncircumcised Philistine gonna get in the way of my promise. Amen. Amen. Every head bow with every eye closed. If you're in this room today and you say, you know what, Pastor, that's me. I'm out of covenant with God. I can honestly say there's sin in my life. There's things that have separated me from him. And going into 2021, it's already been heavy. It's already been hard. I'm already a little bit freaked out of what's going on. I'm here to tell you, God and you will turn things around. If you're going to be the heart of a warrior, if you're going to be the person God has called you to be, you need to be in covenant with him. The Bible says he forgives us of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Pastor, you don't know what I've said. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the drugs. You don't know the things. You don't know the things that I've caused. God says, I'll forgive you as far as the east is from the west. He said, I'll now be in your tent. I'll now be there for you. But you got to confess your sins. The Bible says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you're not standing with the Lord and you know it, it's heavy on your heart this morning, I want you to pray this prayer with me. I'm telling you, he'll throw a life raft out to you right there in your circumstance, right there in the middle of your problem, and he'll save you. You just got to do what Peter did. Lord, save me. And I know he will today. Every believer in this room, please pray this prayer with us. Those of you that are separated from God and need to be in covenant with him, please pray this. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross, and on the third day, you rose again. Come live in my heart, Jesus. Make me new. Set me free. From this day forward, I'll follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website at arenaoflifechurch.org or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.